Hey.
Well, now we know the title of this podcast, Save the Magic. And I'm recording, so now you can be as sassy as you want to be.
Now we're in magic time.
It's the Kings of Con holiday special. It's a Kings of Con holiday special episode.
So wait, so tell me why you're dressed like you're presenting.
Like a normal person?
Yeah. Like you've got a job.
Yeah, I just woke up.
Like that?
And yeah.
I just woke up like this.
I woke up like this. I woke up in this shirt. No, I woke up and I like, it happened to be, the boys and I went to a little holiday dinner last night. So this was the shirt that I had worn.
It was that kind of night.
Bed adjacent. So
yeah, I hear you. Rich is wearing a really nice, is that corduroy?
No, it's just kind of like a, I think it's kind of denim-y, honestly.
It's a Western style red, holiday red, red wine red.
Right.
Sort of a Cabernet, Pinot Noir, if you will. He's, for the first time all year, he's not wearing a baseball cap, so I see his
right.
forehead, which I never get to see.
And I trimmed the beard.
You trimmed the beard, and you have sort of a handlebar mustache thing going on.
I feel like that's more accented, but I mean, it doesn't look that dramatic. You're right. It looks pretty dramatic right now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But in normal lighting, it doesn't look normal. Okay. It doesn't look that dramatic.
Okay. Yeah, I just realized you could easily play with that handlebar mustache. Who could you play? You're like 70s good cop. You're like the guy.
I didn't want it to go this way, but you know, Charlie. You know? Hey, listen, man, I'm here. You want a cup of coffee? Like, I'm here to talk to you. Let me slide out for a second. My partner wants to come in. I'll be right back with that coffee. Cream? Two creams? Okay.
Now you listen here, buddy.
Here comes Rob Benedict.
I'm not Mr. Nice Guy like my partner over there. You don't get coffee.
I will say, those glasses work as the bad cop.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. I'm wearing a, what do you call this, a beanie cap.
Your skull cap?
My skull cap, like... You know, like those New York cop dramas.
Our theme song, totally. The streets.
I've got that.
The streets.
I've got that exact song I'm going to drop in right here. Yeah.
And you know what it is? The show's called The Streets.
Yeah.
Because we're Bobby and Charlie Streets.
Yeah. We're the Street Brothers.
Brothers who are cops who've had it. Their dad died in the line of duty.
That's right. You're not going to fool me like my pop.
One went bad, one stayed good, but they both arrived at the same spot in life, which is not on their watch.
And later in the series or film, I get caught with drugs up my beehole.
You get caught with drugs up your beehole. And drugs is the street name of another friend of ours.
Larry Drugs.
Larry Drugs got caught up your beehole. For anybody listening with their family, I want to apologize for this line of... this is just TV pitching, though, guys. Now you know what it's like to sell
now
a show.
Like.
Robbie and I are developing a show right now, obviously. It's coming to life right in front of you. This could be on ABC next week.
Listen, guys, we love the pitch. Quick question. Did you say up the beehole?
Who do you see playing Larry Drugs?
You do know this is an ABC family show.
You know, you do realize that we're the Cartoon Network. This is not Disney Plus here. We did The Mandalorian. I'm not sure this is our follow-up.
I'm like that guy in Hill Street Blues. Remember the guy who's like, he wore a hat like this and he's always like...
I know exactly. Yeah. Bruce Weitz, I think, was the actor's
really?
Name.
Really? What was his name? It was like Animal or something. It was like...
But he was always the undercover guy. And he'd come in kind of chewing the toothpick. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And he could get crazy. He's unpredictable. He was funny too. Might have been my favorite character. Got great actors on that show.
Oh, Hill Street Blues was Daniel J. Trevante.
Oh man.
I'm drawing a blank on the woman. And I wanted to leave my home to marry her as a
She was gorgeous. She had that widow's.
Oh my God.
Widow's peak.
Let's just see. I'm gonna look it up.
She had the great widow's peak. Great widow's peak on great widow's peak on that broad.
On that lady. Let's see. Cast. Yeah, Daniel J. Travanti. Bruce White, so I was right about that. I get a lot of props for that, man. Like
coming right from you.
That I cut Bruce White's right out of the gate.
Rich giving himself
Veronica
props.
Hamill. Ugh. Veronica Hamill.
The Widow's Peak. Widow's Peak for days.
I mean, merciful goodness.
Yeah, great show. And that was a that was a Milch show, right? David Milch?
I thought that was...
What's his name? Something J. Something.
Cannell.
Yeah.
Stephen J. Cannell.
Yeah.
Sit,
boo-boo, sit. Roof. Good dog.
Right. Here's the deal. I'm just going to fill you in on this whole...
You realize our listeners have no idea what we're talking about.
Hill Street Blues, man. Hill Street Blues.
Great show in the 80s.
Just so you know, Veronica Hamill was nominated 5 times for an Emmy Award for her role as Joyce Davenport in the show Hill Street Blues.
Joyce. It was, you know what was great about it?
She retired from acting in 2010.
She was a good person.
Yeah.
Turns out she was a good Samaritan.
Man, I tell you what. She was, turned out she never, it doesn't say any here in here at all. Oh, Stephen Bochco. It was Stephen Bochco.
That's right. But I think David Milch wrote on the show. That's what I think.
But probably, yes. It seems like that would make sense. Yeah. Oh my goodness. She was considered for the role of Kelly Garrett on Charlie's Angels, but declined the role.
Wow, because she's a good person.
And Jacqueline Smith got that instead.
Also a good person.
Also easy on the eyes.
Also easy on
married
the eyes.
Married to Michael Irving for 10 years.
The football player from Dallas?
Let's see. I'll find out. No, stage and screen actor from Ipswich, Suffolk.
Oh, that one. Isn't there a Michael Irving that was a football player from Dallas? Or maybe that was Irvin.
Julius Irving?
No, I think that was Irvin. Michael.
You know, it's weird. I'm looking at her Wikipedia page.
Oh, that guy. Michael. Oh, no. Yeah, Michael. There's a Michael Irvin.
Who's a football looking player at her, from Dallas. I'm still with Veronica Hamill, and I'm looking at her Wikipedia page, and it weirdly says nothing about her having a crush on me.
That is weird. It's also weird how long you've been on that Wikipedia page.
Well,
I'm staring at a picture of Michael Irvin, the football player from Dallas.
I'm staring at a series of pictures of Veronica Hamill.
Who knew he'd come to this?
Everybody. Anybody who's known me for 30 seconds.
He's a Veronica Hamill guy.
It's,
it's funny, when you wear your baseball hat and your normal shirt, you never talk about Veronica Hamill.
I know, but that's why I dressed up. I thought maybe she'd be looking back at me.
Right. Right. But in the darkness, with just a light on, you look a little bit like you're either a prisoner or you've got a prisoner in the back of that garage.
Either of these things could be true. You don't know.
True.
You don't live with a machete.
Yeah, machete.
Well,
machete,
man,
machete,
I tell you,
machete's
just,
got you in timeout.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know. I could be in the doghouse. I might literally be broadcasting live from the doghouse.
Let's be careful out there. That was the sign off. Line on
and how about that theme song? My Mike Post, bram bam bam on the piano, bram bam bam, nice piano, bram bam 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 bam, and then you know you hear like fire, fire, open fire, and you're seeing a police car drive over, bram bam bam, you know, bam bam bam. It was great,
and you're in tears by the end of just the opening.
Dude, it's so gorgeous. You know what another great theme song was? Taxi.
Great.
Completely unlike a normal sitcom, like walkie, walkie, walkie. It was like, with a cab driving over New York.
Yes.
A bridge, Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes.
Just a gorgeous
even
theme song.
When you think about it, even the Cheers theme song, it wasn't like waka waka. You know, it was like a great song.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
And it added a sentimental value to the show. You know,
agreed.
Honestly, it gave it depth. And if you could probably say that about Friends, although that song annoyed the shit out of me. This Friends theme song.
Brain, 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 brain.
Although I guess that was more goofy.
Yeah, that was a little more typical sitcom-y. Like, we're a bunch of friends in New York. Who knows what's going to happen? Whereas, what's this? Cheers.
Yeah.
Solid.
Cheers, solid. Taxi, great. One of the great sitcoms of all time.
And the great theme song. And then Hill Street Blues, which, of course, is not a comedy, but
Street
great
Blues.
Theme song. I have a CD. Now it's just on my my iPhone digitized it long ago, of TV themes from the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord, there's some good ones.
Yeah, real good.
Little Beretta.
Beretta.
Like, how about, dude, we cannot be talking about sitcom theme songs.
Night Court.
Without putting the top of the food chain.
Night Court.
No. In the Throne.
Wait, let me guess.
It so richly deserves.
Let me guess.
With a crown on its head.
Barney Miller.
Bingo. Absolutely. Yeah. Dude, is there a better... And then all of a sudden, you're like, I'm in a groove. Here come the horns, and here the horns, and bum, bap, ba da ba, ba da 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 da. It's like a 17 man.
Wow, and the funk. It's got funk.
Just got some stank on it. And the best part is, there's not a lot of songs in the world, like Live With Me by the Stones, whatever, that start with like a bass run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, they're just like,
and right also, Night Court.
Boom, I don't remember the Night Court thing. Boom, I never really watched Night
Court. Boom, 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 boom. Wait.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Boom, yes. Bang, that slap bass. Boom, bang. Again, both of those shows, sitcoms.
Dude, and the bass player just... The funny part about the bass player for Barney Miller, there's not a kid who's ever picked up the bass who's 45 or younger that hasn't tried to play the Barney Miller thing.
Right. Is it hard to play? I've never tried. Is it hard to play? You're a bass player.
It is, man.
Is it?
Well, I'm sure for a professional bass player, no. But for me, that last run is... Because it goes from lower string. And it lands on that one, right? So it's... You're just hitting us. Yeah. S load of notes in there.
Yeah.
So I've never been able to play it well.
Yeah. Same.
But the Barney Miller theme is like the litmus test for if you're a good bass player. And the answer, of course, on my side is not really.
Right.
But the real good, the pros can play that. And it's just such a cool run.
Yeah. I was learning a bass part. Not too long ago, for the Sly and the Family Stone song. What's the song that Red Hot Chili Peppers redid?
Thank you for letting me be my dad.
No, it was, what's wrong with me? It's the Sly and the Family Stone version is just, if you want me to stay, up day around day.
I don't know that.
Okay, wait. All right, listen to this bass part here. Do you hear this at all?
I cannot. But the people can hear it. I can't hear it, but I like it.
It's great. It's like the bass line is so addictive. You just want to play it over and over and over. It's just a groove. Ding 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 bum 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 bum.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, guys, hey, you want to talk 70s, 80s? Rich and Rob is where it's at.
Well, you said 80s, and that's appropriate, because you know who turns 80 today?
You.
Only emotionally.
Richard Spate Sr.
No, sir.
Barbara Spate Sr.
No.
Steve Hayes Sr.
No. I'll give you 16 more guesses.
Who do we know that turns 80 today? Janice Hayes.
No.
Shit.
It's Janet, but no.
Sorry, Janet. I mean, try to name all of my parents.
Vivian, Norm. 1, 2.
What were...
I don't know. I of course, Don, your brother-in-law.
Right. What were my ex-wife's parents' names? Nope.
It was Carol and Sydney.
And of course, Ruth's parents' names.
Gulliver and Yvette.
No. David and Fiona, that's Ruth's parents' names.
Okay.
And Bill and Elaine were my ex.
Pretty close.
Oh, I want to say always my in-laws. I don't think you have ex-in-laws. I think, you know. That's always find that weird with my like my ex-wife's family. They're still my family. You know what I mean? It's not my ex-brother-in-law. He's my brother.
Not Don.
And not Don. Don's still my brother-in-law. And you've got a peck on your head. Anyway, where were we before you start talking about parents? No, who turned 80?
Who turned 80?
Who do we know that turned 80? Is it a famous person or someone in your life?
The famous person.
Famous person.
I can literally with my mouth play sing two notes and you'll know who it is. You want it? You want the test?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm going to fail, but yes.
No, you won't. Bam, bam.
Mick Jagger. No. No, it's Keith Richards.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Isn't that funny that iconically you just know that bam, bam, ba da 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 tap tap Charlie, what's going to ba da ba da? Here comes Bill, a Bill Wyman made, made. Oh, what a great So hey, I just watched.
I did see that actually on the Instagram.
It's a Christmas miracle that
Keith Richards is still alive,
walking among us. Yeah, unbelievable. I just watched a documentary. I've always been infatuated with Brian Jones.
Yes, there's a documentary out about him.
And I watched the
documentary. Where? How? Did you get it as a screener?
No, it's out.
Where?
I just watched it on Amazon Prime.
Yes, I want to watch that. I saw that.
And I watched it, The Stones and Brian Jones.
Yeah.
I believe that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And it needed to be 2 hours longer. I mean, it was an hour and 40 minutes, and it just... I want to see the director's cut version of this because there's so much. It leaves you hanging. You know, you and I have talked about that, about documentaries sometimes that make you just go, what?
Yeah.
When they go, like, Alanis Morissette documentary.
Right.
So we recorded all these demos, and then the record company goes like, great, we're gonna sign you to an album contract. And so the album comes out.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like,
next thing you know, I'm playing Madison Square Gardens.
Like,
yeah.
You know, how did you get Flea to play bass? How did you get, like... Right. Who was the producer? How did it sound so amazing? How did all this come? Like, you just leap over,
I know,
like
the big part.
And then I made $10 million, and then I bought a hat.
Right.
Hold on.
Yeah.
So the Brian Jones story is so fascinating. I've always, you know, he started the band.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually became ostracized from the band. Had a lot of insecurities, a lot of a drug and alcohol problem, fractured family life, but also was not an easy teenager. Which kind of led, led to a fractured family life.
Oh, really?
One of the most fascinating things, he had five children with five different women.
Whoa.
By the time he was 23.
What the fuck?
That's crazy. He would just come into these homes, date these girls, get them pregnant, and leave. And
Jesus.
The parents, he has this weird... According to where this is documentary's done, I don't know if this is factually accurate because the parents are all dead now, but apparently the women are like, my dad loved Brian. He loved to have him over and talk. I mean, they're like, what? And then he would just bail on these girls. And of course, that was pre anything.
Different time.
And different times. And so he had five kids who he never knew he would just keep going on and party and never have anything to do with the kids, never saw them, nothing. And a lot of these girls don't even resent him for it. They're just like, oh, well, it was. And it's just my brain kind of hurts because I don't understand that. And also, he's a broken dude. I don't think he was he wasn't doing it to be like, ha-ha, another pregnant lady.
Yeah.
He just was kind of almost frozen in adolescence and that he needed that closeness. And that closeness, when it would lead to having a kid, he would leave. But even leaving, it wouldn't be like he'd bail because they're a kid. He'd be like, oh, I got to go on tour. And then he'd go on tour and fall in love with Marianne Faithfull or whatever.
Right.
And he'd just move on.
Did he have a baby with Marianne Faithfull?
I did not. I think all the people he had babies with were not famous people. They were people he'd meet in London. He was 17 when he got his first girlfriend pregnant. She was 17.
Wow.
Then he got an 18-year-old pregnant when he was like 20. So the age gap wasn't huge, you know what I mean, between him and these people.
You don't want to be unfaithful to Marianne Faithfull.
you do not. It's kind of right there in the branding.
Right there. Well, that's great. I don't know if I want to see it now. I mean, I guess I want to see it because I'm really fascinated.
Yes, you do. It's fascinating to realize how this guy started the band, and it breaks your heart, and you don't really understand. I've read so many rumors that maybe Brian Jones was murdered. This doesn't even get into that at all.
Oh, yeah.
Very disappointing in sort of that regard.
Did it show or talk about his performance in the circus, the Rolling Stones circus?
Yeah, because that was sort of the end. I think that was the last time he ever played live with the Stones.
You should watch that because it's. I'm talking to our audience here. It's so great. This Rolling Stones, what is it called? Flying Circus, Traveling Circus. Anyway, and it's like them and John Lennon plays on it with Eric Clapton. And it's and The Who has a great performance, but the Rolling Stones performance, Brian Jones is notably so fucked up, and he's playing the bongos, and he's so messed up, he's out of his mind, and he's just like he can barely do it. It's really sad.
Yeah, and I think that was he wasn't gonna go.
Yeah, yeah.
He called somebody crying and screaming and didn't want to go, and then finally showed up and was so hammered that they. Didn't have him play guitar, like I think, or
yeah, exactly.
That's what the guy said. Like, have him do something where, like,
yeah, no, he's just beating on a bongo.
Yeah,
That's my bongo mime right here.
That's good. It's good bongo mime.
Thank you.
I will also say that they interview Keith and Mick a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But you know, it's Keith and Mick are weird figures.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they take songwriting credit for all the songs.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you talked to, I remember reading an interview with Mick Taylor, and some of those, like, and Brian Jones said the same thing. Like, Brian Jones comes up with, but doesn't get credit for writing Paint It Black.
No way.
Yeah. No. Mick and Keith took, like, and it talks about that a little bit in the thing, and then Mick Taylor came up with all the stuff on, was it, Exile on Main Street Sticky Fingers, where he's playing all the sort of signature guitar stuff, and they're like, yeah, no, we Mick and I wrote it anyway. I mean, I guess that's just how it works. I don't know, certain bands, it's so different than like U2 or REM or
right or like I find myself in my band like being more than generous with writing credits because I want their collaboration. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't bring it into the band if I didn't want to give it to the band. You know, I get credit for the lyrics, but even if they don't, the guys don't add a lot, it's still music by Loudon Swain because we're a band. But I mean, U2 is a remarkable example. Those four guys have shared the credit, shared the income.
And REM, same thing.
Along with their manager. U2 made a deal with their manager early on. He was like, I will work only for you. I'll work my ass off, but I want a fifth. And they're like, okay. And even to this day, Paul McGinnis. Another great Rolling Stones documentary is the, there's one about Exile on Main Street, which is remarkable. Because
I need to watch that.
They're so messed up on drugs, but they're making possibly their best album ever.
And the crazy thing about Brian Jones being in the Rolling Stones is you watch this life of a man, a 19-year-old starting the Rolling Stones.
Wow, 19, Jesus.
Getting that lineup, you know, they found Bill Wyman out on the newspaper, and he met Keith and Mick just in jazz clubs hanging around, and they start performing, and there's a power struggle between Mick and Keith. 2 years into being a band, they're the second biggest band on the planet behind the Beatles. Like, they're massive.
Wow.
You know, they were all living in a flat, rehearsing in the bed because it's too cold to get out of bed, and then next thing you know, they're just massive, you know?
Wow, yeah.
And they're traveling the world. They're Rolling Stones. They're the coolest people ever. They're going wherever they want. They're dating whoever they want. They're literally dating the same girls. Like, somebody will date somebody, and the next morning that person will be in Keith's bed.
They're right,
like, now Keith's dating her.
Right.
It was a really trippy thing. And so there's just... that was what's going on. And then the rise and fall of Brian Jones happens. And next thing you know... they've making all these hit records, Satisfactions, Paint It Black, everything that's on Hot Rocks Volume 1, basically. Just a freight train of hits.
Yeah.
And
Time Is On
part
My
of the
Side.
Splintering is Brian Jones realizes he's not a songwriter, Mick and Keith are, and that's when he starts to lose the power in the band. He's like, he brought in the sound and the blues and the everything else and taught Keith a lot of cool stuff. And then Keith looked up to him, but then Mick and Keith started going, hey, we can actually write these tunes.
Right.
And Brian just didn't have it. He just didn't. And Mick talks about how Brian didn't even play them stuff. So he's like, I don't even know if he's a good writer or not. He was too afraid to play us what he was working on.
Wow.
So that's also, like, Brian had a lot of emotional stuff going on. Insecurities and a lot of stuff going on.
Wow, Brian sounds a lot like me.
Yeah, with it, minus the blonde page boy cut. Yeah. But anyway, all this to say, all this happens. The rise and fall. Some music right now that if you put it on, your children and my children would know the songs. Like, oh, that's blah, blah, blah. Like, immortal rock and roll songs.
Yeah.
The rise and fall of Brian Jones is massively impactful in the life of music and in a band that went on to continues to make records. It was the foundation of everything the Stones later became.
Yeah.
And it all happened before you and I were born. Brian Jones died in July of 69.
No way.
Like, all of that happened.
Wow. Wow.
10 years before you and I knew who they were.
Wow.
And before I was born.
Crazy.
The concert in Hyde Park in honor of Brian Jones was in July of, was a couple of weeks later. And he got fired from the Rolling Stones. 3 weeks later, he's dead. They do a Hyde Park thing, and then Mick Taylor joins the band, and the next chapter begins.
Wow.
All of that happened before we were born, which just blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, that is wild. And the Beatles broke up, I think, before I was born. Not before you were born, but you...
They broke up... I thought they broke up a little into the 70s, no? They broke up...
No, they broke up in 1970.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, you basically broke up the Beatles. You were born, and a year later, they broke up.
Well, I started dating Yoko as an infant.
That's what it was. That's what it was. People often say.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's see. April 1970. You're right.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I mean, isn't that crazy? How much music history happened previous to our existence?
I know.
But the reason why that's amazing is, A, Robbie and I were in our early 50s, and also because everything that happened with both those bands is cemented as eternally classic. You know, like,
And I would say to some of our younger listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about, check out the music that was made in general and mostly in England, but also in the States, between 1966 and 1970 are some of the best rock and roll music ever made. I stand by that.
100%. It's still like the stuff that you see used in movie soundtracks. Yeah. Like, you know, they're everywhere.
Yeah. So, yeah.
If the Rolling Stones had a concert and only played music in that show,
right, you'd know every song.
1969,
yeah,
you'd go away saying that was a great concert.
Yeah, right, exactly. that's amazing. It really is. I'm fascinated by that. And that's why I love all those documentaries. You know, and also the Keith Richards book called A Life. You have to read that. It's really fantastic. Right. It's really, really, and he writes it. I mean, it's him and a ghostwriter, but like it's in his voice. And what's amazing is I told you this before, the forward of it is him going, this all really happened. And believe it or not, I remember most of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's amazing. You know, these guys were there when all these crucial things were happening. I love that Beatles documentary that came out 2 years ago too. The one on Abbey Road, or I mean, Let It Be.
I didn't see that yet. I heard it's good.
You didn't see that yet, man?
No, I know. A lot of people watch that during lockdown.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Buddy, you got to watch. I mean, again, it's just, you're watching them making a seminal, one of the greatest albums of all time, and you see them going, you know what I mean? Should it be Get Back? Do you like the lyric Get Back? You know? JoJo was a man who thought he was a... What should it be? You know what I mean? And you're screaming at the TV because you know what it becomes. But like they're figuring it out in the moment, and it's all on record.
Yeah, man, it's funny. It's funny when things are in development like that. Remember, I sent you that clip of Whitesnake when they had recorded "Here I Go Again."
Yeah.
Before they recorded it as a hit.
Uh huh.
And the lyric was "Like a hobo, I was born to walk alone." As opposed to Drifter, I'm like, oh man, Drifter really helps that song out
really
a lot.
It really does. It really does. Wow, that's hilarious. Like a hobo. Doesn't pack the same punch.
It's crazy to watch this stuff. Same with the Bee Gees documentary, which is just
so good.
An unbelievable documentary.
So good. I love those rock docs. When they're good, Did I tell you about the time that I did that? I dressed up as a wino for Halloween, and my mom was like, "Get back upstairs. You're not going out the door and telling people."
No, I don't remember that.
It was, you know, it was like, again, it was like 1977. I thought,
but wasn't it, why is it bad to dress as a wino? Didn't you have a little stipple and a gimbal
and a bottle? Is it XXX? She was like,
"Why did she not want you dressed as a?"
You can't leave the house and tell people like. I'm a man with
a drink. Halloween, right?
I'm a man with a drinking problem who lives on the streets. You know what I mean? You just can't.
Yeah.
You can't.
Well, back in the day, people did that whole like Bugs Bunny-esque sort of hobo costume, sure. Train hopping hobo.
Exactly. This was less hobo and more wino.
Wino. And it was Easter.
And it wasn't even Halloween. And I was actually drunk.
Yeah. And yeah. It was actually XXX brand booze.
Isn't that funny that in the old cartoons and movies and stuff, XXX meant like serious alcohol?
Yeah, whenever you got conked on the head, your eyes become pluses.
Yeah, exactly. If only that was real life.
Oh, man. So, Robbie, Richard, the holidays are upon us.
They are. This is our Christmas episode.
What?
It's our Christmas episode. I mean, our holiday episode.
This is it.
Boom, boom, boom. So it's the holidays.
Why don't you tell me about your plans?
Okay.
For the holidays.
And a pause for dramatic effect.
Yeah, for the holidays.
My plan is I'm really looking forward to not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And on Christmas Eve, we go to... my ex, the kid's mom's house, and Ruth and myself and my kid's ex and her partner and the kids. And we have dinner and watch a Christmas Carol, which is our tradition. And then the kids spend the night with their mom, do Christmas with their moms in the morning, then come to my house sort of late morning. We have our own Christmas over here. Then the group all meets up one last time at our friend of the podcast, Hank Chilton's house. On Christmas night,
Hank.
Where we all together have a dinner and we have a white elephant gift giving. And my daughter and Hank's daughter put on a show. It's this whole tradition that we've created in the last 5 years. It's pretty fun. So that's
awesome.
Yeah. And then the kids are going skiing with their mom, and then they're coming to me for New Year's Eve celebration over here. Just me and Ruth and the kids. And then soon after that, my man, it's going to be baby time.
It's baby o'clock. Check your watches. It's time for the poop and the diapers.
And the lack screaming. Of and sleep. The
baby time. Robbie, a young dad, if young means not a thousand, Robbie.
53.
Gonna be a daddy wiping up the poopy, baby. And Ruth. A mom, first time around, gonna love how little sleep she gets. Ruth, new mom, and Robbie, the old salt knows a thing or two about the babies. He's had a couple of grown-up babies. His son's into college now. A baby is coming to Benedict's house. And look out, it's gonna be fun. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're on baby watch as well. So the whole, you know, every day is going to be.
Did you hear the song I wrote about you?
Yeah, it was great. That's a great song. It's a great song. It's a great song. I can picture like other verses too. Like, he's a baby himself. They're all babies.
Who's crying louder, dad or the baby? Swaddle that baby, then go to the infant. Ruth's gonna have to burp the baby and then go to the infant.
And the chorus is actually swaddling Bobby, swaddling Bobby.
Bobby needs a boopy because he's feeling poopy. Yeah, it's gonna be great, man.
Yeah,
it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of fun stuff coming.
Yeah, excited.
Turning it up.
Yeah, new chapter for sure. And what about the Spate Hayes household? Walk me through it.
We're also expecting a child. You may not know that.
Expecting a child with the Spates
machete.
And the
Hayes.
Everybody knows it's not Rich's baby, but he'll have it anyway.
Exactly. And I'll raise it as my own because Machete's Lovers on the Road with the band. I don't know what band, I'm not allowed to know.
But they're young and they're hot and they're making lots of money.
Lots of tattoos. Lots of tattoos.
And Dick's home with the baby.
Giggly gaddly goody. They call me the nanny. But really, I'm kind of the dad. But I'm on an hourly rate.
Machete names the baby Lightning. Because that's what the actual father wanted. He's in
Lightning. His name is Lightning Spider.
That's good stuff.
We don't know who the father is, but the baby's name is Lightning Spider Ketus. But we're not sure. No idea.
Lightning Spider flees exactly. Flees the dad. Is there his last name? So you're going to Oregon at some point.
Oregon, which is what we always do. The day we land, I'm playing bass for a little cover band, Matt and the Harshmen, that I always play with.
That's amazing. So is that something that people can come to? You want to drop some details?
No, it's Matt Harshman's birthday party, so I guess no, not really.
It's private house.
We're going to go play that, and that'll be fun way to kick off the holiday, and then hang out. I don't know if we'll get snow or not, but it's always beautiful up there, and we'll hang out in Oregon and see Steve and Janet and Tyler, of M-Crow fame, where the M stands for Christmas break. He and his wife, Jen, and their lovely children, Sona and Wiley and Indy, will all be there, along with the Spate Boys, and mayoral candidate Michael Junkins will be there, wearing shorts. And then Tasha Hayes, of course. I believe Jocelyn Hayes, the third
All the Hayes sisters will be there?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the word on the street.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's going to be great. I'm sure we'll play some acoustic guitar with Big Steve.
Oh, yeah? When Steve picks up the guitar, what kind of covers does he play?
Old country stuff.
Yeah.
Like
Hank Williams.
Won't you come home? From Ricky's Cab. Won't you come home and talk to a stranger? And I got two down to do. I'll be down at closing time. Like the neon.
Great
lyrics. I know the songs. I'm trying to think of what they are. One's called. We're thinking. I know all these songs, but I don't know the titles. Oh. He plays them all the time. Rock, Salt, and Nails is one he likes to play.
Love that one. Rock and the Salt.
He played Wandering by James Taylor. He loves playing that song.
Good song.
Old country tunes. He loves the old country.
You're doing the actual thing that you make fun of sometimes, where you're like, you know that one song from with your preacher.
But that's the old Marty Robbins classic, El Paso, that Robbie and I have turned into a kind of a dirty, because El Paso is, you know, out in the West Texas town of El Paso. I fell in love with a Mexican girl. And the joke would be like, oh, I know the words. It's right, El Paso, three fingers deep. Wait a minute. She gave me drugs to make me sleep. Or whatever. It becomes a very... If I get too into this, I'll get canceled.
Well, you're being... But the one I think we could say is a da-da-da-da-da-da-da, my butthole, da-da-da-da-da-da, Pastor Phil.
You loved that one so much.
So funny.
Yeah, then Monsignor ate my fill.
You know, when I post the podcast, it says explicit lyrics or not, and I always put yes, explicit lyrics, even though sometimes
we're clear of conscience.
Yeah.
Clear of mind.
But today it's the holidays, so we're allowing ourselves a couple F-bombs from yours truly and Rich's dirty lyrics.
I'm trying to think. See if I have. You're still talking to a stranger there at the bar. I don't have, I need to put together a proper list of the songs that he plays. I don't remember. Anyway, he's a delightful player. He loves to play all these old country tunes, and it's super fun to see him. Sings them, and the girls harmonize with him. It's really fun.
You know, I really like your life, Rich. I think you got a good life, and I you invited me over on Saturday night, and I couldn't because we were, you know, up to other things. But sure. I wish sometimes I was two people. I don't want to leave here. I love my Christmas plans, but man, if I could be a fly on the wall with the old Steve, I know that would be such a fun time. Old
Steve.
That was
great. Steve wasn't here on Saturday night, though.
But, no. I know. I'm just saying, like, Saturday night, I wish it could have been both places. And
oh, yeah.
Christmas,
it was fun.
Christmas Eve.
I do enjoy the Hayes' whole vibe. It's so laid back and chill. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm blessed that I'm super good friends with Tyler and
yeah.
Michael and yeah. Tasha and Jen. And, yeah. and, you know, it's just neat to be close to a family that I'm not blood related to. It's
yeah.
really fun.
Yeah. Well, and I bet you feel the same way about me. You think, boy, wouldn't you like to be at Hank's house on Christmas night? Because I know you think the same
Dude,
way.
Dude, I love Hank. Who doesn't yeah. love Hank?
And then what's New Year's Eve going to look like? You're not a big New Year's Eve guy, are you?
Not really. I mean, every now and then that cover band has played a bar and we go, and that's fun.
Oh,
but
that's
then,
fun.
I don't think we're doing that this time. I think we'd literally probably hang out at the house and just have everybody over. And
do you bang pots and pans at 12 o'clock?
Yeah, if we make it to 12, I think we've called it at East Coast time a couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a early bird when it comes to going to bed, unless right. I'm out doing something. But if I'm not out doing something, I peter out quickly.
Yeah, when you said I'm really, I was going to say, I had so many words.
I bet you did, you old so-and-so. But like, look, the town has a couple of bars and stuff will be happening. And if somebody wants to motivate, every now and then Tyler's like, hey, let's go do something.
And
I'm in.
Do the Joseph bars stay open late?
Past midnight. I mean, yeah.
And when you're at a Joseph bar, like I have no, like, I mean, everyone I've met from Joseph is pretty darn hip. Like when you're at a Joseph bar, is it like, what's the word for it? Like when you're in a small town like that, you've got your, you know, your share of like your locals.
It's mostly locals. It's not a big tourist town.
But are the locals? Do the locals feel like hip and dialed in, or do they feel like sort of away from the cities?
Well,
and
I mean,
anti,
it's a mixed bag. Obviously, it's a small town.
Uh-huh.
You do get your, you know, some farmers and some fellas who sort of live out a little outside
off,
of town,
off the grid,
come
yeah,
to town,
yeah.
You get that, but then you get a ton of people who live in Joseph who are as, you know, similar as mm-hmm. similar to you and I, except for they have different professions.
Right, know? Right. Yeah, real
guys that I hang out with that I'm good friends with who are, you know, interesting dudes, cool lives.
Right, who have real jobs.
Edgy guys, but like just didn't, you know, are not in the entertainment field,
sure.
per se. They're just interesting guys.
And did they think you're crazy that you do it, or are they like, whatever, they're cool?
Well, no, because they don't know me any other way. I didn't grow up there, so they're not like, they met me and I was already doing this.
Right.
You know, so there's no real measuring stick.
Yeah, it's funny.
I think Tyler's more of a...
local hero.
...point of interest because he's from there.
Yeah.
You know.
That's funny, like, it's funny you say that. It's an interesting point, like... I grew up in Columbia, Missouri, which was when I grew up in. It was a, you know, modest sized town. Now it's a much bigger town. But people often say, like, are people like, oh wow, you went off and now you're an actor and stuff. Like, no, people are not really impressed. Not in a bad way, but it's just more like I knew you when. You know what I mean? There's definitely a, like sort of a hometown thing where like you're little Robbie Benedict to me. You know what I mean?
Right. You know? Yeah. And people are more interested in what my wife is doing, what JC's doing, because she's also, you know, left and has come back with a cool career.
Right. But it's 'cause there's something about knowing you win as opposed to meeting you as you are now.
Right. You meet somebody as they are, and that's your ground zero. That's
yeah.
your baseline.
Yeah.
So it's not, like, as fascinating, I don't think.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed with a lot of cool dudes I love up there that I land and immediately can go grab a pint with, like, five or six guys.
Now, do you practice, or you already know all these songs you're going to play?
No, I'm going to need to run them. I mean, I've played these songs before, but I don't practice a lot between things. So,
will you practice with them that day, or do you practice at home before?
No, because I'll arrive that day, so I'll just go and do it. Usually, Matt and I will sneak in a rehearsal the week, you know, during the week before something, but it won't happen this time.
All right. Well, I wish you and yours a merry, merry. And what else? You know, we've got some other quick news to go over.
A little big news that Robbie about to drop on us right now, Robbie.
Our friend Brad Creaser.
Oh my gosh, Brad Creaser, friend of the podcast, friend of the Supernatural Then and Now podcast, a camera operator on Supernatural for all 15 seasons. I believe he came in like episode 3 and then was the a camera operator for the entire run of the show.
So let's call it like 320 four episodes, maybe.
Yeah, and then was the DP when Serge Ladouceur was not DPing either, because Serge was directing or otherwise engaged.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's just a big impact player in the Supernatural family.
And a friend.
You know, you can't say his name anymore just as Brad Creaser.
No.
You can't say that, because that's not right.
Right.
You now have to say what, Rob?
Emmy Award winning. Emmy Award winner Brad Creaser.
Exactly right. Emmy Award winner Brad Creaser. Yeah. Or if you want to, you can say Brad Creaser, Emmy Award winner.
Right, right, right.
That's accepted. Breakfast in the hotel.
Right.
Although you can say, you know, hey, honey, I'm going to go have a beer with Brad Creaser, Emmy Award winner.
Right. When we had dinner with him the other night, he hadn't won yet, but he made sure that we called him Emmy Award nominee.
Yeah, Emmy nominee, Brad Creaser.
Yeah, that's
woe be to you if I ever win an Emmy. I mean, you're going to have to kowtow. Things are going to change around here what's going to happen.
If you don't thank me in your speech, we're going to have a problem.
I wonder if I assume Brad thanked us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to listen to the speech to know that he mispronounced my last name. I'm just going to assume.
Right.
He said it.
Rob Benedict and Richard Spite Jr.
Richard Spleen Jr. So proud of Brad. So awesome. I haven't even seen the movie or this limited series he's nominated for.
Yeah.
So Lost Ollie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lost Ollie is the series that's on a streaming service near you.
Yeah.
Oh, you should watch it. And
it's such great news to see a friend like that do so well.
Emmy Award winner. Now he's not, I mean, think of the money. He's going to get paid in fur and gold bullion.
Fur and gold bullion. That's what they're doing these days.
From his firth?
For the higher ups. Your first episode of his next thing, he's going to get fur and then it's gold bullion there on out.
Gold bullion. And then they might have to pay him in an airplane.
Season two is chicken bullion, which is weird.
Well, because he has the sniffles. we're so excited for Brad Creaser.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we'll probably never get him on Supernatural Then and Now.
Ever again.
The podcast again, because he'll be too big.
Unless we have some...
We'll call his people, and his people will not get back to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. We have to get a hold of some fur.
And some gold bullion.
And some gold bullion and some chicken bullion.
Oh, man.
So that, I thought that was pretty big news that people needed to know about.
It's huge news. It's great news.
Yeah. What else?
Well, I mean, that's it. That's a big one. I don't know. Can you top that?
It's a big deal.
Did you think he was going to win, or did you not have, I don't know. Like, where were you in the Brad pool?
You know, I was, you know, he had said like, it really doesn't matter to me what happens now. I'm just so thankful to be nominated. And
well, that's an effing lie, but go ahead.
I was with him on that. I was like, yeah, so it doesn't matter. But I can tell you, I was
so
pleasantly surprised when he did. I was like, no way. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I honestly almost didn't think about what that would be like if he actually won. You know, it's a game changer.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of game it changes.
Well, like, depends what game you're playing. You know, if he's like playing pickup basketball with his buddies,
that's going to change.
That's going to change.
Because they're going to have to go, instead of like, Brad, they're going to go, Emmy Award winner Brad. Emmy Award winner Brad.
I'm open.
By then the play's over.
I'm open. Emmy Award winner Brad. Yeah. And when he's going to play actually with the Emmy, you know, the Emmy is like a ball. It's like an angel holding the ball, you know? So he's got to play with that. It's going to be weird to dribble it. No matter what game he plays, it's a game changer. So that's
it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. What do you think? Did you think where'd you fall on it? No,
I thought for sure he'd win. I just knew you were on the other side of that conversation, so I didn't know if it got weird for you. Yeah, I thought it was great. I'm really happy for him.
Yeah,
it was really cool.
Yeah. Oh, did I tell you my thing about my my first audition back?
No.
We had a strike, you know, everybody. And so there's been, ever since things have been back, it's still been very slow because most projects are just waiting till after the first of the year. But I had an audition came in for a sitcom, and they were like, it's due tomorrow.
Okay.
And it was 10 pages long, and I was like, aren't there new rules? Aren't part of it supposed to be they can't do the 24-hour turnaround anymore? It turns out that there's a 48-hour turnaround, mandatory turnaround for auditions, unless production decides they actually need it before that. So nothing's changed.
I like unless production has decided that they need it.
So I got it at 5 p.m. It was due by 5 p.m. the next day. It's like, wait. So that was exciting.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you crushed it, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. It's funny. It's a funny business.
It is. Not funny haha, but it is a funny.
Yeah. No funny like, and what's the sound of banging your head against the wall?
That sound.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That kind of funny.
Well, how did it go? I mean, did you feel good about it?
It went fine. You know, when like all the put yourself on tape auditions feel.
Did they laugh?
Nobody laughed because it's just me on tape. So nobody laughed. Maybe, well, hopefully when I sent it in, they laughed, you know. But yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? I just thought that was really funny. It was like, wait, wasn't one of the things we struck about is that we have more than 24 hours mandatory? That is true. That's true. That's true. Unless the exception where they say no. They say no.
That's really, really genuinely funny that it's like up to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yes, however.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, that's that. That's that. I got all my Christmas presents off today, so I feel good about that.
You got a what?
All my Christmas presents off this morning.
Oh, nice.
In the mail.
Wow. So you buy them physically and then mail them?
To
versus doing things online.
I do both. I buy all the things for my family. Most of that stuff is online. But yeah, for my mom and my sister, like things, I like to send it along with a card that I make.
Oh, that's cool.
So I send it here, and then I put them all together in a package with the card and pictures of the kids and stuff like that.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's on its way to my mom, hopefully by Christmas Day. And same to my sister and my brother, Matt. And my other sister lives here, so we can just get together and do a gift exchange, so that's easy.
Oh, that's nice.
What about you? Are you done with your Christmas shopping?
I largely am.
Now, who does most of the buying? Is it you or Machete?
Me.
Yeah.
100% me. Yeah.
Yeah. Does she know what you're giving the kids?
Yes. Okay. Well, sometimes.
Okay.
And then she has stuff specifically. She'll go like, oh, I got to get, I'm doing that, you know, uh-huh. And it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's other stuff that we kind of divide and conquer a little bit. And okay. we obviously talk about stuff because we don't want to accidentally send the, you know, overbuy or buy the same stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
But yeah, man, it's, I think we're largely done, which is great.
Good. And then you take everything up to Oregon or do you have it shipped to Oregon already?
Shipped to Oregon.
Right. Smart.
Just have it done there.
Smart.
It's just 1,000 times easier I mean, it's so hard to get. We're flying. I mean, you know what I mean?
You send it to have it to Steve and Janet's house?
Yeah.
Smart.
We do.
Smart moves. And then will you have a Christmas tree at your house up there?
We will get a Christmas tree up there. We'll go get it when we get there.
That's amazing.
You get a permit and go out and chop it down.
What?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's cool. Wow. It's very like, it's pretty cool. Wow. It's like you feel like it's like small town America, or I don't know. You know what I mean? It just feels interesting.
What movie is it? Is it Christmas Vacation where they chop the tree down and they bring it back and there's like a squirrel in it? It's a squirrel still in the tree because
that might be a thing.
Yeah, because they go to an actual like, you know, like what you're gonna do, but they bring it back. There's a squirrel there, and then the cat changes to squirrel. Is that Christmas?
It might be Stuart Little.
And the cat gets electrocuted. I think it's Christmas.
I don't know. I feel like that's Stuart Little.
That's not Stuart Little. Are you just saying that because you're just picking Christmas movies?
No, I don't remember that part. But
it's from something. And then, I don't know. I don't know. You know, that doesn't ring a bell to you.
No, but I haven't seen Christmas Vacation many times.
Oh, man. You not like Christmas
movies? I know. Well, dude, it's like one of the things I envy about your family is you guys watch movies together. And as my boys got older, that's become increasingly impossible.
Because they just don't want to watch?
They just don't care about movies. Like,
really?
Steve will do it occasionally. And I can, you know, sometimes I can dupe Frank into, you know, watching something with me.
Right.
But not... I mean, Fletcher's the first one to tell me. He's like, Dad, ain't happening.
Right.
Like, I'm going to walk around. I'm going to get bored. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So, but like with Steve and Janet, we can watch movies. So I do watch a fair amount of movies on usually the screeners or, you know, the codes come in.
Yeah,
and so,
as a DGA member, you get those screeners. You got them already?
I've got some. You're a SAG member. You'll get them too, right?
Yeah, we don't get them until January, and it sucks because you've seen all the movies by then. But actually, this year I haven't. I haven't seen anything. So maybe this year it'll be... It is usually by the time we get the SAG screeners, you've already seen all the big stuff. But
personally, I think they should just send out the codes. I think the sending out screeners is a waste.
Well, that's true. That's true because nobody's got a DVD player anymore. But I think they do, most of them do send out codes. I bet you this year you got more codes. But
I probably did.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. I really haven't seen any of the big stuff yet. I keep waiting for it to be free on Netflix or Apple.
Yeah, I'm excited to see some stuff, but we'll watch some movies. But my point is, I don't think the boys have seen a good chunk of the classic Christmas movies. Also, another point to make is I'm not married to a movie lover.
Right.
Whereas I grew up as a movie lover
and
would watch movies obsessively.
Right.
And even pre-JC, if I was dating somebody, we'd watch a lot of movies. But JC, that is not her thing.
Huh.
So we don't do
well, that's because she doesn't like freedom.
She doesn't like artistic people or people in the movie business.
Remember when that old cartoon when we, i.e. you. Remember we that old cartoon that we loved and it was like, yeah, Steve, sorry, I can't come over tonight because my wife hates freedom. Remember that?
What?
Remember we
used to love
it? It's like a guy, his wife's in the other room and he's like, yeah, Steve, sorry, I can't come over tonight because my wife hates freedom. I don't know why that was like.
No, I have no recollection of that.
Really? I gotta find it again. It really makes me laugh. But I guess I am lucky that way because my oldest son especially just loves movies. My oldest son, my only son, just loves movies. And Audrey really likes stuff too. Audrey's more picky about what it's gonna be. But that is a family tradition we do. We just always watch movies together.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this is the year we can put together some movie watching.
The fun thing is during, you know, this when it's not Christmas break, we have like a TV show we'll watch together. It'll be a sort of we eat dinner, then we'll watch, you know, either a half hour or hour of a TV show, and then
that's cool. Yeah, we don't do that either.
Kids go do their homework.
I'm gonna this is gonna be the year, man.
Okay.
Tell me some of your favorite. I'm making a list here. Tell me some of your favorite. I just put Scrooged down.
Well, Scrooged.
Die Hard.
Okay, sure, maybe, yeah. Yeah, I mean, my favorite Scrooge movie, your kids won't necessarily like.
A Muppet Christmas Carol.
No, it's the Scrooge that was, I'm looking for the year. A Christmas Carol. It's like 1937 with Alistair Sim.
Hmm.
And it's really just, he's the best Ebenezer Scrooge, that I've seen. And that's what we watch every year. Okay. Christmas Vacation. I mean, Christmas Vacation is.
Right. So I've got Scrooge, Die Hard, A Christmas Story.
Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation.
Home Alone.
Home Alone, huh?
Yeah, Home Alone's a good Christmas movie.
All right.
And your kids would love Home Alone. Home Alone's amazing. It's basically Frank. It's like it's about Frank.
Right.
It looks like Frank. He's doing Frank stuff. Super smart kid. Frank. Yeah, so That's good. And then, of course, the Grinch, the OG Grinch.
Oh, yeah, the Grinch.
The cartoon Grinch is the best Grinch, but you can also see the live-action Grinch, directed by Ronnie Howard. And,
right.
And starring Jim Carrey. Yeah, that should get you a start. I mean, there are more classics that I love, that, but your kids would be bored. Like, It's a Wonderful Life is a great movie and Christmas movie.
Right.
And, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that should get you going.
Okay, got it. On it.
My kids just watched, and I don't know if I ever saw it, but there's a, what's the Spielberg, or no.
BFG?
No, it's about the train.
It's that's Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah, Zemeckis. It's a Christmas train with your buddy Tom.
What's it called? It always looks really creepy.
The Polar Express.
Polar Express.
Yeah.
It always looked really creepy because of the, it looked like the computer graphics were a little too real. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Weird?
It's like weird. It's like half real, half cartoon, but.
Polar Express.
Kids liked it. Yeah.
Okay, I got it started.
All right, good.
Christmas list started.
Good. I'd pick the one that feels most accessible to the boys and watch that first, you know what I mean? To me, Home Alone, Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Yeah, Die Hard is, you know, that's like on the fence Christmas movie, but, you know, there's this whole argument.
Be careful who you said in front of. It's a volatile topic.
It's a volatile topic. I have no skin in that game. I don't care. I love the movie. I love watching it at Christmas. I also like it watching it when it's not Christmas. It's just a fine movie.
Right.
Alan Rickman. So great. And of course, our beloved Bruce Willis.
Bruce?
Like Lilith.
Like Lilith. Bruce Willis. So true.
Yeah. So there you go, dudes.
There you go. Now everybody has movies to watch, and you have Robbie's baby song to hum along to. You can just sort of airlift it right out of this podcast.
Right.
And then everybody, I guess we should wrap it up because we've been yapping a while, but I want everybody to have a safe and happy holiday, doing whatever it is they do, celebrating however it is they celebrate. May it be joyful and festive, and may 2024 be better than 2023.
Indeed. That is a ditto from me, Rob, and love you all. Thanks for supporting the podcast all year. There'll be more of it. Next year, we're not going anywhere.
More podcast coming in 2024.
But thanks for listening, and please be merry and be happy, and send in all the love in the world. We'll see you later.
Peace. It's a King's Cup.